We had 24 absolutely wonderful people on board this tour, just the right amount so you can get to know one another and move pretty effortlessly through the temples.
The trip generally, William, lasts how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get to Egypt. Any problems when you first get there?
None whatsoever. Egypt was absolutely peaceful. The weather was gorgeous. I like to go in January because it's cooler. The temples are less crowded. Everything was just fine. And we had spent a couple of days in Giza exploring the pyramids. Then we caught our flight down to Aswan for our Nile cruise and had just absolutely been having a tremendous time.
And then what happened?
Well, it all hit the fan, didn't it? It just suddenly exploded in our faces.
It was like overnight.
It was absolutely overnight. As if a switch had been flipped. You go to sleep one night knowing there's a curfew's been imposed. You hear all this noise in the night. Turns out that noise is tanks that had moved into place in front of your hotel. Your hotel is now on lockdown. You're being warned not to leave your hotel because there are marauding gangs that are out around the pyramids. And suddenly you're wondering, what are we in for here?
At that point, you're probably trying to figure out what's going on. Is there a revolution? What's happening, I guess, huh?
Exactly. And the greatest fear that we had for those, I mean, some, honestly, George, just didn't feel like there was any reason to be alarmed whatsoever, so I should say that. But the rest are wondering, what's going on? What's going to happen? Nobody knew what was going to happen next. Was this going to escalate into civil war? Were we going to see gangs coming in the hotel with guns, shooting at, looking for tourists to rob and pillage? Nobody knew what was going to happen next.
When we were talking to you, you were on a bus in Cairo going to the airport.
Yeah.
There was a calmness about you, William, but were you concerned at all at that point?
Well, yes, because, again, we had just passed through these checkpoints with guys, local men that were protecting their neighborhoods with bats, with machetes, with makeshift weapons.
Oh,
and we had no idea what we were going to encounter at the airport. We were probably about 10 minutes away from getting to the actual airport when we spoke that morning. And my job as the tour leader, I just kept trying to keep everybody focused on the victory that was at hand. I asked everybody to chant three words with me. Yes, what do we want? We want people to say, yes, you're on the flight. Love. We love everybody. They love us. And victory. Focus on the victory that we all wanted to have as a result of this experience. And a couple of members told me that that really carried them through. So it was mayhem when we got to the airport, and literally almost like kung fu fighting, getting through the security in Terminal 3, 18,000 people were trying to get out all at the same time on just only a handful of flights.
And they go through security checkpoints and everything else, don't they?
Yes. Not quite as intensive as the U.S., but nonetheless, you have these throngs of people that are all trying to squeeze through this narrow gateway all at the same time. Literally, I was watching babies in carriages getting pushed around by adults with their 50-pound bags of luggage.
Were most of the people at the airport foreigners trying to get out of Egypt?
Yes. Almost all of them were foreigners. Quite a few of the Egyptians themselves were trying to get out, but the vast majority were foreigners.
At any point, did you or members of your party feel threatened or in jeopardy?
The first wave at the airport, the first wave of people that went through the airport, I got a message from a gentleman who joined us from Germany, and he said our ANK reps literally got in a fist fight in order to get him through security. An elderly gentleman who left with his wife ahead of the group against our best advice also said he nearly was knifed going through the airport. So there were these tales of people literally fearing for their physical well-being getting through that airport.
Now, were these planes that you had tickets for?
Yes, they were. And that was such a confusing situation because we finally found that the real thing that we needed was a copy of our e-tickets to get through security. We'd be a little more golden if we had that. But the problem was, to get an e-ticket, we had to have internet. Well, the internet was dark.
Oh, you couldn't download the boarding pass.
You couldn't download a boarding pass. You couldn't call the airline. Then the airline would change their schedules. Now, I want to say that during the process, our airlines really felt as if they were letting us down tremendously, but the group all got home. They tell me that Delta just absolutely behaved impeccably. once the flights were going, and I've been in touch with American Airlines since I've been home, and they've taken steps to assure that everybody is pleased with their service. So it all worked out in the end, but during the experience, nobody had any idea what was coming next.
Just give me old Southwest leaving Burbank. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I know. Put me in the cattle car. Just get me out of here. It was such a ball of confusion there, absolute chaos. And the best thing that we knew to do was to hang together as a team and to help one another out. My wife, Claire, and I stepped up and just spent hours on the phone at tremendous cost and long-distance charges to try to help everybody get a seat on the plane. Fortunately, one of her friends is the wife of the British consulate in Cairo, and she was able to give us insight about what was going on at the airport and kept telling us, get out of Cairo as fast as you can. But the problem was, there was no way to get out. And so at some points, we would wake up in the middle of the night together, say, our thoughts had turned from, will we be able to leave Egypt, or are we just going to have to stay here? Are we trapped? There was a real sense that we wouldn't get out of there.
Did you feel as if they hated Americans?
No, they love Americans, absolutely love Americans. We didn't fear because we are Americans. We feared just because once they were letting prisoners out of the prisons, these prisoners, there was a police station near the pyramids that they had run over and stolen all the guns. And this may have accounted for the gunfire we were hearing outside our hotel every night. You know you're in trouble, George, when Anderson Cooper's parked out in the parking lot in front of your hotel. You know you're in a bad space.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what's going on with Zahi Hawass while all this is happening?
Well, he's kind of a mystery man. I'm not sure. He's supporting Mubarak. He's jockeyed himself into position as the number three man in the Egyptian government, got himself a cabinet post. And
you mean
he's
like under the vice president or
what? Yeah, as the minister of culture, he's considered the number three man. If something happens to Mubarak and Suleiman, it's Zahi Hawass who becomes the...
Zahi, we've got his number. We can call him anytime we want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it just really makes me wonder what is going on here. I mean, I had noticed several changes in Egypt that some were very good. They've invested huge amounts of money in really polishing the pearl of Egypt, new roads, new fancy entrances to the temples. They've got a $1 billion museum coming online here in the next couple of years. And even the hotel we stayed at, the Meridian by the pyramids, they've added 500 new hotel rooms in anticipation of throngs of people coming to Egypt in the next few years.